now for PCSN Live with Dave and Ken, right here on Pickup Country 104.9 FM, streaming live at listenlikealocal.com or on your mobile device with the free WSKV app for Android and Apple users. Tonight's program is made possible in part by Whitaker Bank, Tanner Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Powell County CSEP, Mercy Health, Appalachian Wireless, Citizens Guarantee Bank, Clark Regional Medical Center, Hinkle Contracting, Davis & Davis Funeral Home, Toyota South, Ace Hardware & Feed, People's Exchange Bank, Teddy Flint, Attorney at Law, Whitaker Insurance Group, Protect Security and Fire Systems, and Apex Network Physical Therapy. Let's join Ken and Dave for PCSN Live from the Stanton Studio.
And good evening and welcome everyone to a regular edition of PCSN Live. Ken will be leaving a little early to go get set up for the soccer championship game between Estill County and Jackson City. That game's scheduled to start at 7 o'clock due to a sun delay. So Jackson City wanted to start later due to the sun, and they could get down here and flip a coin and get the shade side of it. But I guess they didn't want to chance that. And I think at 7 o'clock you're still going to have some sun issues on the east goal. But
did you ever think, though, that outside of baseball we would ever have a sun delay? Obviously that's normal and typical to have a sun delay during baseball season, but to have a sun delay in soccer
or any other sport, I never thought about it, but it just dawned on me. We talked about that a couple weeks ago whenever we broadcast the doubleheader, I think it was, between Powell and
Menifee.
Yeah, and the sun was just brutal.
Yeah,
and
it was.
On that goalie, and it is bad. It's 6:30. It's rough, so I don't mind that change at all, and something that you don't think about logistically when you're scheduling the times. You don't really think about that sun issue unless you're actually playing the sport. So a lot of times when the ADs get together and schedule times, they don't really think about the playing conditions. So
right, yeah. Well, anyway, regardless, it's still a 7 o'clock start time
tonight. So Ken will be checking out just a touch early here on tonight, and then I'll follow him up to the field. So we'll be on again at 7 o'clock. That will be on NFHS and radio. That's a question mark.
I believe it is.
Okay. So somebody be coming in here as well to take over for me. All right. We're going to start out with boys soccer since they're actually finished now.
On the Powell side, anyway.
On the Powell side. Powell County soccer is boys is finished. And just kind of weird on your schedule when you look at it. Last three games of the season for Powell County were who? Estill, Estill, and Estill. Powell won the first one 5-1, lost the second one 3-1, and lost in a heartbreaker in penalty kicks in a shootout 6-5. The game was at 3-3 in regulation with the two overtime periods. No one scored. And then, I guess it was 3-2 for Estill County, that I only had three guys kick, right?
We had four.
We had all of our guys. All of our guys kicked.
Yes, I'm sorry. Yes.
We stopped one. So we stopped one guy from scoring from Estill. They had three guys kick and have goals. So we couldn't catch up after the last goal was stopped by their goalkeeper.
Well, and unfortunately, we had two of our players in those kicks that hit it directly right.
The last three players, all three hit them right to the
To the goalkeeper instead of hitting it to one of the corners. And I don't know if – and sometimes, you know, you're anticipating that they're going to move off the line and they're trying to guess which corner you're going to, but the goalkeeper cannot move until you make contact. So at that point, advantage them if you're hitting it straight on because they don't necessarily have to react and take a guess on which direction they're actually going in. But credit Xander Turner. I mean, he made three – you know, outstanding plays.
Well,
too.
I mean,
you
kick it a little bit high, but it's in the middle. He has a chance to go off his fingertips into the goal if you kick it hard enough. Which the first kick by Connor was hard enough. It was just right at him. I mean, he could have bounced off of him and just centered him up almost. And then he followed up. I think it was Deshaun and who's the other one that had the kick? Connor.
Well, finally, Vasquez was the last one.
No, I think
Crow.
Deshaun.
Zeke Crow.
No, Zeke Crow was second. First. He was first. He made the go first.
Zeke was first. Connor Creech was
third.
Third. Well, then
Vasquez was fourth, and then Deshaun was last. And it surprised me again. Vasquez went back right back middle, and then Deshaun goes middle. And by watching the goalie, he wasn't moving really anyway.
Correct.
If you kicked it to any corner, we talked about that during the broadcast, go to any corner, it's good. Because he has no way to get that kind of movement to a corner. I understand corners are more risky, but they're also about 100% chance you're going to score if you do hit the corner.
Correct. And even professionally, where are you going? You're going to the corners. It's so wide that it's difficult for any goalkeeper to, one, just have to stay on the line and then to adjust to that.
And, you know, I got to thinking, we were saying low corner, but, you know, a high corner would almost be even more impossible to get.
True.
Because you have to dive to get a low corner. You're not going to be able to do anything to get that high corner.
Right. No, not with the angle, not with the movement. No. That ball's moving way too fast for you to even come close.
Kick. I'm talking about with the
absolutely
quality kick.
Yes.
Yeah, with a kind of a missed kick you could maybe get there, but any kind of a good kick at all. It's any like I think, any corner is probably going to be good, but Powell chose to go middle. And, you know, I'd like to talk to Bernie and see if that was a plan or that was something they may have thought Estill County moved early. If they would, then you go middle. But I didn't see any movement in the goalie whatsoever, even on the first two kicks with Zeke and with the goalie.
Will Nolan.
Will Nolan.
Yeah, we kind of forgot about him.
Both those two guys went to the corners and got goals, and it was their goalkeeper didn't move. And to me, why do you go right there to the middle when he's not moved on the first two attempts?
And it's even very rare that a goalkeeper will actually be someone in that kick position.
Yes, it is. Yeah, yeah. But he did a good job and got the kick in. So,
and the most egregious mistake that the Pirates ended up making is that you go ahead 3-2. Now you're getting closer to that 4-minute mark, finally that 3-minute mark, and a defensive breakdown where basically the Estill player Ian Rowland out hustled a Pirate defender on the near side, was able to get around, and then at that point he kicks it into the goal. At that point,
they got a penalty kick, right?
Well, I'm talking about the play prior to that, right? And at that point, when you got out hustled with the clock running, that's kind of an issue. And then going back to the penalty kick, you looked at the video. I looked at the video after the fact. Neither one of us thought there was a penalty anyway. Kind of questioning, well, like, what did we even see?
I couldn't because I'm blocked.
You were a little bit blocked on that corner.
You saw it well, and then Brian Wilson sent me a clip from the NFHS app, and I saw nobody went down.
No, they're.
I didn't really even see a check. I just more saw. I didn't see anything.
Correct. I didn't either. And that, you know, not to be questioning the officials, you know, but at the same time, I'm not sure what they thought they saw. And of course, it's no different than any game. I mean, even going back to volleyball last night, right? We're seeing something. Mm-hmm. They're seeing something different. Angles or everything, but they made the call. We didn't necessarily stop it. They tied up with 2:55 to play in the game, and that was
That was the goal, I think, that just kind of broke our spirits.
Agreed.
And I think Estill County played the overtimes, I believe, trying to get the penalty kicks. I think that was their goal because they were really playing defense, weren't that aggressive on the offensive side. I mean, I'm sure they were taking the goal on a run out or something, but really, I think they played most of the defense. And, you know, I'm not going to criticize the Pirates for anything, but I do think, and this is coming from the coaching perspective, when you play a game, you have to know who your officials are, and you have to have to know their tendencies. And we watched the Jackson City Wolf game, and Jackson City, and I'm not saying they flopped, but it was questionable a couple of times when they went down. Now, not every time did they get the call, but they had to go down to get a call. So those a couple times Pirate players didn't go down after contact. And I think if they would have, we would have gotten those breaks. If Deshaun goes down when he's tussled right in front of the goalkeeper by two players, he splits two and he's bumped. I think if he goes down, I think he gets a call and he gets a penalty kick. But I don't think our guys were thinking about doing that. But I do think Estill does it better than us. And I know Jackson City did.
I think what's interesting in that first matchup between Wolf and Jackson City, there were a lot of times when the lead official was saying, just get up. Yes. No foul. Get up. Yep. But yet in the Powell game, every time anybody was going down, there basically was a whistle and a free kick coming.
I think they were assuming that I think maybe Jackson City may have a reputation for flopping. I don't know. Because they don't really try to score a lot. They just try to get goals however they can. And they got, say, one guy down. And if he goes down in that process, then that's how he probably scores a lot of their goals on the penalty kicks. And which is, again, that strategy. You can't – I don't debate it. I don't say it's a other thing. I'm thinking it's a good strategy. It's just like a guy in basketball taking a charge and kind of, okay, I didn't really take a big hit, but I'm going to sell it. It is salesmanship. And how the officials take the sale or take the bait, if you will, is how the game is called. And I think the officiating crew that was on the games on a Monday night, you have to know that going into the game. So that's just my perspective. And then I could be totally off base. If Brian Wilson's listening, he'll tell me anyway. But that's just my perspective of how the game went. I think the boys played great at the end of the season. But I also think that Estill County hated losing to Powell about as bad as anything on that 5-1 match. I think it embarrassed them enough to where they weren't going to let it happen again. And even though they're a rebuilding process and don't have a great record for Estill County, they got some really nice players on the Estill County team.
They do. And I think what's interesting about that team is that those players, several of them, hard hits. Turned ankles, you name it. It seems like they were, they were down, but each one of them came back, and even they would go down again, they kept coming back.
I can't remember his name.
Hurst,
he didn't come back.
That was a tough injury, but
he was hurt. The most significant of any of those players,
but the fact that the others came back and fought through it, those injuries, that says a lot about their team. They never gave up any more than the Pirates did.
No.
But sometimes I think that our lack of hustle, and I didn't necessarily see it to the extent that we saw it when the 5-1 victory over Estill, they were out hustling everything, and that may have caught the engineers off guard in a sense us to get those five goals.
I think kind of this, though, looking at the game with Estill and watching the first time, our defense was really good the first game. Our defense was spot on. They got two guys. The kid we just talked about,
Hurst
and Jimmy
Taylor.
Those two kids, I'm telling you, are super fast, handle the ball super well, and can both shoot it really well. So those two guys, I think, are better than anybody offensively for the Pirates.
Agreed. Definitely. And they're a notch above.
Not knocking our kids. I think Connor Creech is fantastic. But he doesn't have I don't think the same speed as those two guys does. He got the handles of the ball well, kicks the ball well, but those two kids are a notch above with speed and accuracy on their kicks, especially Taylor, and I think he's a phenomenal player.
If he doesn't get a scholarship to play soccer somewhere, somebody's not done something right.
He's a phenomenal player, and I just don't really understand after watching him play the last game and know what their potential is, how they really – had a record like they have, because this team is better than their record. And I think, I know Jackson City won the regular season, but I really think Estill County is going to win this match tonight.
And anything's possible. And Jackson City ended up beating Wolf County 3-2 was
and
the final
Estill
score,
twice, right?
Correct. Yes.
Yeah. Yes. I just don't think that third time I think is going to be tough to do, but it again, for Powell County's perspective, I think a good season winding up, Bernie, I think did a fantastic job with this group. I know they didn't play as well early, but they really came on late and wound up finishing the season at 5-10. I know that record doesn't sound fantastic, but they were 4-3 in district play, 4-3 in regional play. That to me is kind of, I think they grew a lot during the season. Now they did lose 4 seniors, and that will hurt, but they got a lot of young kids coming up. And I think they will kind of fill those gaps. And, again, you lose Connor. You lose Jacob Townsend, who this is his first year. You also lose, I think, Nolan. Nolan is a senior. And there's one more. Who am I missing? I apologize for that. I'll check real quick.
Yeah, while you're actually mentioning
Gavin Bloom.
There you go. Yeah.
And I don't know how we missed Gavin. I honestly think, I thought Gavin might be one of the guys getting that kick, because Gavin played great defense, great midfield all season long. He was one of those sparks for the Pirates all season. I really like watching him play. A lot of hustle, a lot of effort out of Gavin. So those guys will be missed going into next year. But, again, I think they made a good comeback on their season and made Powell County proud.
Yeah, definitely showed some improvements. Unfortunate that you lose the way that you do, especially with that penalty kick at the three-minute mark, 2:55. On a questionable call. And then, obviously, you go to the double overtime and then the penalty kicks in order to kind of decide things. And you have to be more aware of hitting it to the corners,
yeah,
no matter which direction that you pull it into. But, again,
you know, and I think, too, and I'm picking on Connor, but I think if Connor gets that goal, it's a whole different process throughout the match. You know, if he makes three straight, man, I tell you what, Estes County is going to be pressured to make their third straight. So, you know, that first miss is always the most important one. And Powell kind of got the first miss. And
you breathe new life into the other team, right?
Yeah. Estes County was almost in celebratory mode already when here's an opening for us to win, you know. And then
realizing they still had some good players coming up to kick.
Well, they kind of backloaded their guys.
Yes.
I really thought, and I'm not picking on any of the players, but to me, Connor and Vasquez are your two strongest kickers. They were at 3 and 4, and obviously those two didn't get goals. And those were the two guys I thought, if I had the game to pick, I'm picking Creech and Vasquez 1 and 2. I don't know how you load them. You talked about putting them on the back end. I don't know how you do that for sure, but I thought the Powell County rotation, the way it was going, worked out well. We made 1 and 2. Then you got Creech and Vasquez coming up. You'd think you got 3 and 4 locked up. Then it comes down to Dalen, who's a good shooter as well. So I didn't mind the lineup at all, especially when you made 1 and 2.
Yeah, it just goes back. You have to be able to, well, one, not put yourself in a position for the penalty kick.
Correct.
You've got to kind of tighten up your defense once you have the lead. Not necessarily be more aggressive where you're committing fouls, but you still have to be a little bit more aggressive to make sure they don't have those opportunities. And unfortunately, that, you know, penalty kick was called. You know, they made a play and they did what they needed to. Credit Estill County, despite the injuries that they had, they still found a way to win. And as you mentioned, as far as like Bernie Vasquez, the head coach's first year, showed a lot of improvement the team did as the season went on. And to me, that's what you need to see. And they did it. Again, they just ran into a team that found a way to win.
Well, I think of a team that got hot. I mean, again, you played them three times in a row, and that's something you really don't ever want to do, is play somebody three consecutive games. And I don't know why we did it. It just...
Well, if you remember, one of them was a makeup.
Makeup from COVID, yeah.
Right.
From Estill County, where they had to cancel. So
we
were actually broadcasting
the
games at the doubleheader. We were thinking it was going to be a doubleheader, and the boys got canceled. So we were there for the girls' game. So we're going to take a break here. We'll come back and talk about girls' soccer here on PCSN Live.
Protect Security and Fire Systems. Your security is our business. Visit the Powell County Sports Network page at WSKVFM.com.
With Whitaker Bank's new home equity line of credit, qualified applicants can borrow up to 90% of their home's value with no closing costs. With Whitaker Bank's home equity line of credit, you only pay back 1% of your balance monthly, and you process your withdrawals with Whitaker Electronic Banking. Stop by Whitaker Bank and see how our new home equity line of credit can help you. Whitaker Bank proudly supports your Powell County Pirates. Whitaker Bank is uniquely Kentucky, member FDIC, and an equal housing lender.
Count on Clark Regional Medical Center for quality health care close to home. It's why we're here, providing compassionate, personalized care whenever you may need it, so you, your family, and our community can all thrive. Because no matter where you are in life, nothing is more important than your health. Clark Regional Medical Center, from the routine to the unforeseen. Count on us. Learn more at clarkregional.org.
Welcome back here to PCSN Live with Dave and Ken. Now we're going to switch gears and go to girls soccer, which concluded for district play last night. The Pirates and the Engineers will both go to the regional tournament. That will be you know, and I didn't ever ask anybody where it was going to be played. My bad. But if you ever get on the KSSA website, the score on the website is wrong.
For the girls' championship.
It is. It says 6-5 in a shootout. That's actually the boys' score. The score from the girls' game was 3-0 Estill in a shutout last night. So a good game for Estill. Perry Central, and we have to talk a little bit about region play. Perry Central beat Hazard 10-0. And I believe, if I'm not mistaken, Ken, maybe I'm mistaken on this. You have to let me know. It's a five-team district, so let me see here.
Or is Hazard out where they ended up getting beat?
Okay, yes.
Now it's just the four teams.
Yes, so it'll be Letcher, Perry, Powell, and Estill are the four teams. Estill County is going to be rated number one. They got the highest RPI, which we felt they deserved that. Letcher County comes in at the two slot. Powell County in the three slot. Perry the four. And if you're looking at RPI, it's a three-point difference in all four schools. And we thought going in, it's wide open. It is wide open. I do think the way Estill plays, again, it's kind of like the girls. With they got a couple of good goal scorers who are very fast that are probably probably better offensive players than the Pirates have. That being said, I think that the Estill County team is probably the team to beat for the regional title. I think the girls, our girls, can go up there to the region, and they've already beat, I think they already beat Letcher, right, early in the season?
Correct, 1-0.
Beat them 1-0. So I think we lost to Perry.
1-0.
Beat Letcher 1-0. You lost two games to Estill, or three games to Estill, right?
Three, yes. We played them back-to-back, if you remember.
Yeah, so we lost all three games to Estill County. So, I guess we're 1-3 against regional, running four against regional
one and
opponents.
1-4, yes.
But and they were 1-0 games, 1-0 games. You had the first game with the Pirates was close, I think. And the second two, I think, got away from them a little bit. 3-1 was last week's game. And then tonight's game, 3-0. The first game of the season was 6-4. So, all the defenses have got better, both teams. I just really think that Estill County may be the favorite to win the region, and it's going to be a 2-0, 1-1, 2-1 kind of contest. I think all four of these teams are going to play good enough defense to keep the other teams at a low mark. I don't think anybody's going to beat anybody 4-0 or anything in a game.
Yeah, even last night watching the soccer match, I was in the gym getting ready for the volleyball match, and so I had the NFHS app on. And at times it's difficult to kind of pay attention because the camera's so far away sense. But I almost felt like that the girls' team, either there were some changes that were made to the players and their positions, or the Lady Pirates weren't nearly as intense, something seemed to be off to me,
well,
whether it was the defense
I didn't see the game, but I would speculate that we were playing less aggressive against Estill.
I believe so, I do.
Because I think we were probably trying to play defense more.
And that could be true, because it was 1-0 until you get down to 14 seconds, and unfortunately Lady Pirates give up a goal with 14 seconds in the first half to go down 2-0, 1-0 at halftime is, and 1-0 or 2-0, totally different scenario. And then if you think about that, you take out that one, you give up a goal in the first half, a goal in the second half. At that point, you're still potentially into it. But that second goal with 14 seconds to play in the first half was devastating. And then despite the fact that they played strong defense, I'm not sure our offense, and again, we could potentially credit Estill County's defense, but I'm not so sure that our offense was what we had seen from them prior. Whether it was the passing, whether it was the aggressiveness, I'm not sure. I just felt like that watching the video, the live stream, that the Lady Pirates were just somehow off throughout that game.
I look at it this way. We are averaging 2.8 goals per game for the season. if you go back and you look at, let's say, Estill County, for an example, and they are averaging per game, again, irregardless of the competition, they're averaging 3.7 goals per game. So almost one goal,
goal differential, yeah,
between the two. So you have to think that Estill County is a notch better on offense. So I'm not just, you know, I don't make it just, I'm making up. I know Macy Muncie by far is the fastest player on the field. And she also is a good shooter and very, and reads well and passes well. I'm not sure we have a player offensively that is, you know, just a strictly offensive player and scorer that is as strong as she is. We have some great defenders. But I don't think we have anybody with the kind of speed that you need to keep up with Muncie.
So how do we, and we've talked about this before, so then how do we find or develop those players that are that aggressive, that physically strong, in order to get the team to that next level?
Well,
how does that occur? How do you do
that? Well, Muncie, for an example, Muncie plays four sports. She's she plays volleyball. She plays soccer. That's hard to do, by the way, at the same time. And in the spring, she runs track and plays softball. Now, this kid is involved in a lot of stuff. Now, obviously, she has speed. She wires us out on at softball, and she made the state last year in her running events. She's just quick with the ball, and she's built up some good strength and stamina, so she can kick it as well. And she's a long player. She's probably 5'7", 5'8", or 5'6", 5'7". She can make a difference just in speed. I don't think that she is like immensely stronger. You know, Clara Terry, in my opinion, is one of the best athletes in the school. I would definitely take strength wise. I'd take Clara over anybody on Estill County's team. But there again, I don't think the speed's there.
So then, do we start encouraging our players that are playing soccer, boys and girls, start running track in the spring?
Some of them do. Some of our girls do that. I just think maybe they need some weight training also.
Sure.
Because we've got some really small girls that are pretty good, but maybe with a little weight training, get their legs stronger and physically stronger, where they can maybe be able to go push somebody around. And I think the game gets to that. I think really, if you want to compete with a faster player, what do? You have to bump them around. I'm not saying you have to, you know, knock them down, foul them, hurt them. But you have to be physical. So there's things that you can do different. You know, I think we got some, like I said, I think we have some great defenders. Carly Patrick's one of my most favorite players to watch on Powell County, and she's a defender. Clara Terry's fun because she goes 100%, doesn't matter. But she's not one of those players that you're looking for maybe to score a goal for you. She's just, to me, she's kind of country strong. She's kind of works on the farm a little bit too, and just a very good athlete. You know, I'm just not sure we got the right people doing the same things that you need to be doing. But I think Victoria's done a great job with this group. This is a team that coming into the season was expected to do well. And I think this team can still win the regional tournament. Again, I think you're obviously drawing away from I think the best team, which is Estill. So you're going to either play Letcher or Perry, whoever wins that game. And you'd have to think you would rather it be Letcher because you beat them the last time. But the only way you beat play Letcher is if Letcher beats Perry on Perry's home field, I think. So makes it interesting.
Do you at that point, you know, not only do you consider the strength training and or even, you know, track and field, but some way, somehow within the Powell County District, when you look at overall records against a lot of the teams that were used to being in the 56th district and even the 54th, 55th, the regional teams, we can do well, but sometimes that next level, we're not quite there.
Nobody in this region is there.
Well, I just meant even within the region, I'm saying, so what do we need to do as an athletic program to get our players to that next level? And again, I get that sometimes there's burnout, right? I'm saying you play soccer, last thing you want to do is, I don't want to run track, right? But we need to take the off season, though, and continue to develop that skill set to some extent.
But I think what our girls did especially, and I'm not knocking this at all, I think they really worked their kids year round. which
again, soccer probably does more than anybody in many respects.
I think they do, and I don't have a problem with that. But some of their girls really just don't choose to do other things when maybe other sports may make you a little stronger. That's always the way I feel. I mean, I think like in boys, it's easy to say this. If you are a football player, you're getting strength regardless. So if you're a baseball player and you get stronger playing football, it can only help you when your sport starts. Physically, you're stronger. You know, I know Frank does some weight training with his baseball team, but it's different. I mean, it is different. And if you're playing football, then you go straight to basketball, and then you come out to baseball, you're not going to miss a beat. I don't care how bad of a baseball player you are. You're not going to be a week away from being ready to go. Maybe a week and a half if you're an athlete. You could take the best, I'll use Cam Del Rosario as an example. Plays basketball this season. He's going to flip over to baseball. He's going to have about a week and a half to get ready. Guess what? Cam's going to be fine. He's not going to miss a bunch. Now, you've got a guy that maybe a non-starter on the baseball team that wants to be a starter, that he plays basketball, well, that kid may be a little bit slower to get back. But now, your elite players, they're not going to miss much of a beat if they play multiple sports. They're going to be just a week or two getting ready.
As being able to throw, and because obviously basketball and baseball different as far as what you're
different
doing. So you're going to have to kind of get back into the training, that muscle memory, in order to get yourself prepared for that. But you're exactly right. But usually it's those players that play either the multiple sports or train themselves kind of year-round to stay physically fit. They're the ones who are able to jump into it. And that's where at times I feel like that we lack that, whether it's based on the individual or collectively as the team and or collectively as a athletic department. We've got to find a way in order to, one, get more kids out playing and continue to develop those players.
We've kind of done that a little bit especially with baseball. We're trying some more things with basketball right now, getting a fall league going, getting a different kind of league going that we haven't had in the past. We've got to get more kids involved at a younger age. That's part of the equation. It's not like just a high school thing. It has to be from elementary school level all the way up. We have to have more kids involved, so we'll have kids to choose from when they get to high school that are all competitive. Competition makes you better. And if you don't have a kid pushing you, where's your room for getting better? I think you need that.
And the participation trophies anymore, I think that's probably ruined it because at that point there's winners and losers in life in all areas. Therefore, guess what? You don't necessarily get a participation trophy for going to work every day, right? That's what you do. But I think that's ruined us in a sense. And I feel like, and we've had this conversation countless times, it still goes back to if we're not developing skill sets at a young age, regardless of the sport, where we're spending more time skills-wise as opposed to game-wise, we'll create more efficient and better players in the long run. Instead, we want to do 2 weeks of practice. We're going to start playing games, and the kids don't even know why they're doing the things that they're doing. We don't develop those skills.
Well, I think the strength of this region is all in Eastern Kentucky. I'm talking about far Eastern Kentucky. Those are some of your better sports programs as far as with baseball, softball, even football and basketball. Those are some of your better ones because their feeder programs are deeper. They got more kids coming out. They've had more success. Sometimes success drives how many people are out.
But what are they doing that we are not doing collectively across the board?
Starting sooner, playing differently, having more games between different groups. Like our little league, you may have two teams. We need four or six. You need more people playing so you can have more variety to play against instead of maybe one team beats this other team down every time. I don't know.
Are there so many options on the table now, though, that we've diversified so much that kids have more options and therefore you don't get the numbers?
I would say that up to a point because most of the larger schools in Eastern Kentucky have gone that route. Perry Central, Letcher, Hazard, they all do all the sports we're doing. It's not like you're missing a beat. It's just I think you've got more kids involved there. Now, Perry and Letcher got larger numbers, so that's a little bit different. But now Hazard, they're competitive in a lot of different sports, and their numbers aren't huge. So even with our district teams, you've got some really good competition in you know, Lee County and Owsley County, some teams that are doing really well. But when you look at the 56th area, and I even count Wolf County in that, I just think our deep feeder system isn't really existent. I don't think it's as good as what it is in Eastern Kentucky. And if you take Eastern Kentucky and compare it to Central Kentucky or Western, they're beating Eastern Kentucky. So Eastern Kentucky's got it kind of better than us. Estill County, I think, has got the best feeder program for most sports than we do. So maybe we'll take a snapshot of what they're doing. However, talk to some of their folks, their system's dropping in numbers. So I think it's kind of a global issue. I don't think it's just a Powell County thing. I think numbers are dropping, and that's not good for, to me, it's not good for athletics across the board.
The more that I continue, and I appreciate KHSAA doing this, but the more I continue to dive in deeper as far as the head-to-head matches, we do not have good records against a lot of these teams, other than maybe Owsley and Lee, you know, and some of those are stretched really far. But when you look at the other ones, we don't necessarily have winning records other than probably those two teams.
Except baseball.
Yeah. Right. So at that point, though, how are we going to compete for those district and regional titles if we don't necessarily, again, develop that skill set, find more players, continue to develop that on any number of levels? And obviously it takes parent involvement. It takes kid involvement. I have no doubt that there are kids, even at the elementary school, I try to talk to them, some of these guys, kids, boys, about playing football all the time. They've got the size and everything else, but then I realize, like, some of them, where they're coming from, I'm like, parents don't have transportation to be able to get them to practice and pick them up.
I think, though, when you look at, like, kids playing high school sports, it takes parental involvement because the kid's got to get there. If you can't get them there, they're not going to be successful.
Right.
I've been told this a lot of times by people outside the school issue. This kid was great in Little League. Why is he not playing? He can't come to practice. He's got nobody to bring him. You guys are picking him up all the time. We can't go pick up kids every day to come and play and then take them home. That's not, we get in trouble for that.
Right.
It's not like we can actually go do that. So a lot of times they don't have the finances available to play because some sports get expensive.
Sure.
And then they don't have the parental support that's needed to be able to get you to practice and come and pick you up every day. Those are the things I think where that's why numbers are going down, because it takes so much time to be competitive at a high school level. But we got a lot of people, have kids have to work. Parents have to work two jobs. There's no way to get you here. If you're under 15, you don't have a car, so you can't get here on your own. So there's a lot of elements involved in this. It's not just one. You know, they're involved in, when they're young, they're involved, and they get, you know, 12, 14, then they kind of get dropped out. I think that's where the dropout starts occurring, is in, you know, 12, 13, 14.
Is that because we don't continually to have winning records and seasons and district titles, et cetera? Because as you said before,
I think it's a combination of
success breeds success, right?
Success does breed success, but I think it's also part of there's not enough parental involvement with those kids between the ages of probably 12 and 15 to get you to where you need to be and come and pick you up when you need to be picked up. We have a lot of people that just can't do it. Then I think that's a barrier. Finances is a barrier, and I wish it wasn't, but it is. I mean, sports aren't free to play. I wish they were. In a perfect world, they'd say free, but it's, you almost have to pay to participate. That's kind of a sad way to do it. But
even if it's costing your gas and your time, right? If you're at West Bend or you go up to Slade or something,
go buy a ticket to the games. If you're playing baseball or softball, you got five games a week. Time you get through playing for every game, it's probably $100 a week, and that's just tickets,
right?
For you and your wife, other kids. If you got a babysitter, that's great. If you got other kids like that, but it gets expensive. I've had no parents have had to pick games they go to. They only go maybe one or two a week, and you can't go to the away games because it gets too expensive to drive because gas prices keep going up. It just is what it is. It's a bunch of elements that created. It's not one fix, but
Even when we were on the road football at Lewis County, maybe a dozen.
Yeah.
Right.
I think there were people there in the car. We couldn't see them, but
sure,
across the row in the stands.
Right, and you've got 35, you know, kids roughly that play football, yep. And you've got, you know, 12, and who knows, some of them probably likely the same family.
Well, I mean, it wasn't a great turnout as far as that goes. So, anyway, Powell County girls soccer will be playing, we'll let you know, Monday or Tuesday, I would think, and I would think Perry County Central this year. I do know Estill County and Letcher are now in rotation, but that would probably come after this season, being at Perry. So we'll kind of keep you in touch. We'll let you know Friday night for sure when we do the football game. But getting ready now to kick Ken out of here because he's going to have to go get set up for the soccer game. And I'll probably finish up the rest of them by myself, I guess. So
yeah, we will be on the road on Friday night, yeah, at Pendleton County. So Facebook Live, if I'm not mistaken, I believe Ethan's probably going to be joining us, if I believe, where we'll be on the road for that. So let's see, that's the must win for the Pirate football team in order to keep their playoff hopes alive.
Yeah, while you're under your cold gear.
Yeah. Wear layers.
It's going to be cold on Friday night. So we'll step away for a break here on PCSN Live. Back in a moment.
Since opening in 1972, Citizens Guarantee Bank has been there to help our customers enhance their lives and achieve their dreams. With 7 locations across central and eastern Kentucky today, we are celebrating 50 years of being there for the communities we call home. Citizens Guarantee Bank is now CG Bank. New name, same commitment to being there for our neighbors. CG Bank, we've been there for that. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Trust the emergency department at Mercy Health, Markham and Wallace Hospital, when an emergency strikes. We offer full-service emergency care 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. We have X-ray, CT, and lab services on site for assessing, diagnosing, and treating patients quickly. The emergency department is a level 4 trauma center where you can expect expert care, quicker treatment, and improved outcomes. You can feel safe to come to the hospital campus. Following CDC guidelines, our providers and care teams are doing everything possible to ensure your safety and well-being. Choose the emergency department at Mercy Health, Markham and Wallace Hospital in Irvin.
And welcome back here to PCSN Live. This is Dave Falder with you. Ken is on his way to broadcast a soccer match between Estill and Jackson City, championship game of the boys' district tournament. Again, both teams will advance for region play. That will be next week. Switch gears again to, we'll go to volleyball. And our Lady Pirates last night played host to Wolf County, and Wolf County was really dominant in a couple sets. Powell won set number 2, Wolf won sets 1, 3, and 4 for the final score of 3-1. It was 25-14, 23-25, 25-20, and 25-9. That last set was just really got ugly out there. But again, set 1 and set 4 were ugly. Set 2 and set 3 were competitive. And again, Powell County winning set number 2. And I believe that's one of the better teams I've seen all season with Wolf County. Got some great outside hitting, and that tradition is still going at Wolf County with the volleyball program. And now they got a couple freshmen coming in. They're just going to really keep that program rolling right along. So for Powell County, they will travel to Wolf County tomorrow night. They will play Russell on Saturday at 2 o'clock. It's got scheduled for 2 o'clock. They'll play Rowan County at 10 and Corbin at 11:15. These are all at the Eastern Kentucky Tournament of Champions at Rowan County. So those, all three of those, again on Saturday. They'll turn around and play Monday night home game versus Breathitt County and Jackson City, which is an add-on game, on Thursday at 7 o'clock. So the district for the volleyball Lady Pirates will be the following week, which will be our fall break as well. So we'll have another week of regular season after this week concludes. So there'll be one more week of regular season, then their tournament will start. Powell County now sitting with a record of 7-8. And as far as the seeds go, Ken and I were talking about this before the show. Powell County is 5-1 in district play. Powell County will, if Estill County beats Lee County, Powell County would be the one seed. If Lee beats Estill County on, I think it's on Tuesday, If Estill beats, or if Lee beats Estill, Lee will be the one seed. Their record would be 5-1, but they also have to play Owsley County. Yes, so Owsley is 1-3. Make sure I'm right. 1-4, excuse me. They are 1-4. Estill is 0-4 in regular season play. If you check out the website, it says 0-6. Two of those games were tournaments with Powell County. And if Estill County wins both sets between Lee and Owsley, then they would become the 3 seed. If Estill loses either of those, well, if they lose to Owsley County, they will be the 4 regardless. If they defeat Owsley County and lose to Lee, there is a scenario where Estill County can be as high as a 3 seed, but no higher than the 3. So Powell County is going to play for the 1 or 2 seed. Lee County will hold it in their own control. If they defeat Estill, they will be the 1 seed. If Owsley defeats Estill, Owsley will be the 3. And conversely, Estill has to win big over Owsley to be able to get the 3 seed heads up. So kind of a little bit of a look at volleyball. And again, their next matchup, again, will be tomorrow night at Wolf, Saturday at Rowan County, with 3 big matches. And close out the season Monday and Thursday next week, both at home. For your Lady Volleyball Pirates. So come out and support them. They'll need your help finishing out their season. We'll step away for another break. We'll come back and talk about football real quick.
When you need insurance, contact Whitaker Insurance Group in Stanton, proud sponsors of the live broadcast of your Powell County Pirates on Pickup Country 104.9 FM.
Are you tired of the same old cell phone? Want a new phone, but really don't want to pay the hundreds of dollars up front for it? Appalachian Wireless has a deal for you. Get the phone you actually want instead of settling for a cheaper phone with the Appalachian Advantage Plan. Instead of paying $600 or more for the best phone, simply pay the taxes up front and then a few bucks a month more on your monthly bill. Stop by your local Appalachian Wireless store or dealer today for more information. It's the better, simpler way to pay. And it's called the Appalachian Advantage because we are you. We are Appalachian Wireless.
And again, welcome back to PCSN Live. This is Dave Fodder with you. Again, Ken is on his way to the high school athletic complex to broadcast the soccer game, which starts at 7 o'clock between Jackson City and Estill County. Real quick here, go to football. And for the Pirates, they're in a must-win situation this week against Pendleton County. That game will be played there. They are Powell County coming in at 1-6. After next week, the Powell County Pirates will have an off week. So this is the last week. They'll actually have the fall break week off to get ready for Mason County, or last district game, and then Owen County. But if Powell County wants to make the playoffs, it's fairly simple at this point. Powell defeats Flint Pendleton. Powell gets a playoff spot. I'll go more about that in a minute. This is the next to last district game for the Pirates. They will take on Mason County, who right now is by far the best team in the district. And Mason County will come in, if I can find them real quick on here. Sorry about that. Should have had them already pulled up. Just can't. Although they're way high. They're rated almost at 69 on the RPI. They're coming in at 6-0 on the season. They're 1-0 in district play. In comparison, the second rated team in this district would be Lewis County, and their RPI is 49.8. Talking about Powell County coming in, we're at 35.5. Pendleton County is 33. I miss Fleming County in there. Fleming County is 49 as well. So Lewis and Fleming really right there together, but about 2 points difference in those two. And look at the head-to-head this week, or last week, Powell County played Fleming County, lost 33-20, and the week before lost to Lewis County, 34-29. Powell County had a chance to win that one late in the game and had the lead against Fleming for a while. So lost to Fleming County again by 2 touchdowns, and the Lewis County game by 1. Conversely, Pendleton County has played the same two teams. Or I thought they had. They have not played Fleming. My apologies. They played Lewis to a two-touchdown difference. 34-20 was that score. And lost to Mason soundly. 49-12 was that final score. And, again, this is their they'll play Fleming County next week, their last district game. And if Pendleton would be able to defeat Fleming County and Powell defeats Pendleton, that still puts Powell in the playoffs. So Powell County, basically everyone wins this game, will make the playoffs. The loser will be probably the fifth place team and will not be advancing. So it is a heads-up match. This is for the playoff berth in the district and a chance to play Mason County, which what is looking at likely, even though they are 1-0 at this point, what it looks likely to us is that they'll be the one seed. Everyone who wins between Fleming and Lewis, I'm not sure they've played. They have not played as of yet. They'll play next week, or the week after next is when they'll play between Fleming and Lewis. They'll probably be the deciding factor of the two seed and three seed. So, again, Pendleton and Powell will be playing for the four seed on Friday night. So come up to Pendleton County and watch the game. Again, the field is not located at the school. So if you're coming up, just go past where the school is and just keep going, and you'll eventually come up on the field out in kind of the middle of nowhere. So, again, it's going to be a cold night. So if you are going to the game, wrap up. Again, Powell County has this game this week, off a week. Then they'll travel to Mason or host Mason County and then host Owen County to wrap up the season for the Pirates. So, again, we're expecting, looking at, you know, the team for Pendleton County really gives up a lot of yards rushing. So, Powell County does that best. So, we'll matchups look good for the Pirates. But, again, you got to stay away from the turnovers and penalties. It kind of shot us in the foot the last couple of games. So, we'll, again, hopefully we'll improve on that. Hope everything is back, everybody's back to healthy, and we can get a healthy game in and come out and be competitive and get a victory at Pendleton County on Friday. So that'll be our next broadcast after tonight. Again, there'll be no broadcast tomorrow or Saturday, and we'll let you keep you posted on the next week because that will be regional soccer for the girls action. And then the ECSN side, they'll probably be bringing you the Estill County boys soccer matchups. So we'll kind of keep you posted here on WSKV. Check the website out by this weekend after the draw, and we'll keep you posted on what everybody is playing. So we'll take another break here on PCSN Live.
We value our customers at People's Exchange Bank, which is why we serve you with a staff of experts that are happy to meet your lending needs. We offer a variety of personal, small business, agriculture, and commercial loans, along with competitive rates and quick decisions. Your bank shouldn't compromise on your imagination, drive, and growth, so let us help move you forward with a loan from People's Exchange Bank. Get started and get going. Visit us online at www.pebank.com or stop by a local branch to find the loan that fits you best. Member FDIC and Equal Housing Lender.
Ace Hardware, East College Avenue, Stanton, want to wish the best for your Powell County Pirates at their sporting events and their academics, at home or wherever life takes them. Next time you need an item for your lawn or garden, building needs, small or large project, plumbing, electrical, tools, including Craftsman, DeWalt, Husqvarna, and so much more. Remember your Ace Hardware right here in Stanton, East College Avenue, Ace, the helpful place.
At Wells Funeral Home, we have years of experience caring for families from all walks of life. Each family comes to us because they know we are leaders in our profession, dedicated to excellence in service, and have the highest integrity. Life is full of opportunities to show someone we love them. One such opportunity is the funeral or memorial service. Such a loving event celebrates the choices they made, the relationship you shared, and honors the memory of your loved one. Together, we will create a fitting and memorable event. Contact us today to discuss the possibilities. Call 606-663-9480 or visit us at 777 West College Avenue in Stanton.
And welcome back to BCSN Live. Again, Dave Faulkner with you. Ken is probably already at the school waiting for the start The Estill County Jackson City soccer game, which has moved to 7 o'clock, which was why we were able to bring you an hour of PCSN Live before we log off. Just to kind of wrap up everything, the Palconi boys football will travel to Pendleton County on Friday. That will probably decide the playoff berth for one of those two schools. Palconi girls and Estill County girls will both be advancing to the regional soccer tournament. That will be next week. Again, stay tuned here on the WSKV for updates on when those games are and what the coverage schedule will be. For volleyball, they'll be in action again tomorrow night at Wolf County and then on Saturday at Rowan County. For boys soccer, again, the championship game for boys soccer tournament is tonight with Estill and Jackson City. Both those two teams will advance. And if you are listening from the ECS inside, those details again will be announced right here on the website at some point whenever the draws take place, let you know when your engineers or when the Tigers are playing, if you're listening from Jackson area, when those games will be played in their regional contest as well. So that's a little bit of a rundown about what we've already covered. It is time now for Major League Baseball playoffs. That's the last day of the season. Regular season is today. They'll take a couple of days off and get ready for playoff baseball. So fun time of year. This is to me, it's one of the most fun times of the season. Also want to mention an event coming up on Sunday. It is the, I want to make sure I read this to you correctly. Just a second. So I almost forgot what I said I was going to do. For baseball, this is going to be a pretty cool event. I know I tried this when I was coaching. So at 1 o'clock, it'll be the red black scrimmage for PCHS baseball team. At 2:30, be a slow pitch softball home run derby. There's a $10 entry fee for all those who want to be invited or want to enter. And at 3:30, will be an alumni game. So come on out at 3:30. I'll be doing the PA for the game for the players who are coming back to play. Admission will be $5. Concessions will be sold. Now all proceeds will benefit the Powell County Baseball Program. So if you're an alumni, again, you can maybe catch up with Frank if you want to play on Sunday, or if you just want to come out and watch, be glad to have you. Any alumni is welcome to the field. Again, this is what it's all about for Powell County Baseball alumni. Again, that'll be Sunday, starting around 1 o'clock and then 3:30 with the big alumni game. Weather should be really nice on Sunday afternoon, so again, come out for some good fun and entertainment, I'm sure, at the alumni game on Sunday. So, for my partner, Ken Simon, who is at the field, this is David Faulkner. We'll be signing off a little early so we can get started at 7 o'clock. And thanks for listening to PCSN Live.
Thank you for joining us for PCSN Live with Dave and Ken right here on Pickup Country 104.9 FM. Streaming live at listenlikealocal.com or on your mobile device with the free WSKV app for Android and Apple users. Don't forget, tonight's program is available on our on-demand player at listenlikealocal.com.